Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. If the chill in the air today has you thinking about the inevitable coming of winter, you're not alone. Governor Baker was at an MBTA facility in Dorchester this afternoon saying that the T2 is preparing for this year's onslaught.
As we head into it, you know, you never know what Mother Nature is going to deliver. But I feel very good that we are far better prepared for this winter than we were last year.
The Baker-appointed MBTA Fiscal Control Board released its first report yesterday, and it comes with good news and bad news. The good news, a winter resiliency plan is in place.
The bad news, it'll cost more than $7 billion to get the system to a state of good repair, $500 million more than initially projected in March. So joining us to discuss this report is Joseph Aiello. He's chairman of the MBTA Fiscal and Management Control Board. Joseph Aiello, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon.
It's great to have you. Also with us today is Jim Aloisi. He's former state transportation secretary and a principal at the Pemberton Square Group. Good to have you back, Jim.
Thank you.
So Governor Baker has said that the process of installing snow fences to keep snow off the tracks is underway. We also heard a little bit more about the winter resiliency plan. Joseph Aiello, let me just start with you. Do you think the T will be ready once the snow falls?
They have been working like the Dickens. I think they have a very, very solid plan. The fact that they're ahead of schedule implementing that plan gives me great comfort.
It gives you great comfort. Does it give you the same comfort, Jim Aloisi?
I think they're working really hard at a plan that makes sense for being resilient this winter. So I think we're, you know, that plus the help of Mother Nature should serve us reasonably well.
This is the most optimism I've heard about the MBTA in some time here on this show.
Yes, but keep talking.
Okay. Well, so it's an $83 million winter resiliency plan. Okay, so that's in place. But this latest report from the Fiscal Control Board is a thing that I think has gotten everyone's attention. And that number that I quoted earlier, that you found that it'll be more than $7 billion, $7.3 billion to get the system to a state of good repair. Joseph Aiello, why is that more than $500 million more than we previously estimated?
Well, I think a couple of things are true. First, the panel that was convened by the governor over the winter had a very short period of time to dive into that matter, among a whole series of other topics that they were trying to uncover. And the T State of Good Repair process was just underway, that is, cataloging all of the elements of the T asset plan. So the change is really a result of the fact that a lot more of what the T has to maintain is now in the database. Appropriate prices are assigned to those. And I think the report was careful to say that we have not completed that effort, and there are some estimates within that 7.3, that may cause that number to change. So that's number one. And the other important point in the report is that the $7.3 billion estimate is in 2015 dollars. So that is, if we had $7.3 billion today that we don't currently have and fixed it today, that would be the cost. Of course, we're not proposing that. We're proposing that we need to get this over a series of years. So there will be the impact of inflation.
Okay, so let me just jump in there, because this is a point of the report that really caught my attention. I'm just reading a quote from it directly, that it's now an estimated $7.3 billion in current dollars, as the State of Good Repair database does not include a forecast for inflation, just like you said, Joseph Aiello. Jim Aloisi, my question for you is, isn't accounting for inflation kind of a fundamental tenet of whenever you do budget projections in the future? I mean, I saw this and I thought, isn't this enough to give credence to all those people out there who say the T is poorly managed? They don't even account for inflation in their State of Good Repair database.
Well, I wouldn't fault them for that. I mean, I think you always have to assume that a report that's going to give you a snapshot in time, which is what this does, is not going to also recommend that that snapshot be fulfilled in 1 year. And so one assumes inflation over time. So I wouldn't criticize them for that at all. I actually think that this report is extremely helpful, because it really underscores the dimensions of the problem. It's not pretty, and it's getting worse.
But we don't even know the full dimensions yet.
Well,
we
know the baseline, and the baseline is $7 billion of State of Good Repair, and the baseline is also a $400-plus million operating deficit over the next five fiscal years. And so what I'm glad about, what I think this is the public service that's been done here with the Fiscal Control Board's report, is that it's making it very hard for anybody in the state to avoid, to blink away the reality of the need to address these issues in a forthright way. And so I'm pleased, and I'm not pleased at the number, but I'm pleased that we have now have the ability to see the dimensions of the problem and then to ask ourselves, what is it that we want the T to be? And are we prepared to take the steps necessary to fill that gap?
Mm. So the dimensions of the problem, as both of you have described and underscored, will actually also continue to grow as we get further assets, Joseph Aiello, as you were mentioning, put into that State of Good Repair database. But also in other portions of the report, we see that the operating budget, as Jim Aloisi just talked about, is, quote, unsustainable, with expenses increasing at three times the rate of revenue growth. I mean, to have an almost $500 million projected budget gap by 2020 is kind of jaw-dropping. Can you just briefly describe how you came up with that number in particular, Joseph Aiello?
Sure. One of the things we did was we were very careful to look at what the historical increase in cost, the cost side has been, as well as the historical increase in the revenue side. Effectively in this version have extended those out over the next 5 years to point out to folks and to policymakers what the sort of do-nothing different trend looks like. That's not at all the intent of the control board. The intent of the control board is to, in fact, control those costs as aggressively as we can and to increase own-source revenues as aggressively as we can, and then, and therefore bring that number down to as close to zero as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But that means it's going to take some real serious reform within the way that the TE operates in order to achieve those kinds of changes.
So, Jim Aloisi, I have to say that I'm kind of surprised to see you're so positive about this report. What is actually, you think, not being said here?
Well, the thing that the report doesn't address, but it wasn't meant to address, is the $64,000 question, which is how are we going to pay for this? So I'm happy about the report because I think it's well done, and I think it affirms what many of us have been saying for many, many years, which is there's a significant funding gap in the way we fund public transportation. And so what this report, I hope, will do is put some pressure on people to begin to think realistically about how to solve this, because it's not, if the operating gap is unsustainable, I don't believe personally that we're going to reform our way out of that. We're certainly not going to reform our way out of a $7 billion State of Good Repair issue. So we need to find out what are people willing to do. And heck, it's not, no longer is it playing at the margins. These are huge numbers. And I think that we're at an inflection point where we need to make some very important decisions about investment. You know, when we built the Quabbin Reservoir in the 1930s, or we built Logan Airport in the late 50s and early 60s, we spent billions of dollars, a billion each in today's dollars, to get those things off and running. We need an equivalent kind of commitment. It's not going to come from fare increases. It's not going to come from tinkering around with reform. To do this right, it's going to take something of that magnitude, and I'm hoping this will spark another dialogue that gets us to the right place.
Well, Jim Aloisi is the former state transportation secretary. He's also a principal at the Pemberton Square Group. Jim, always great to have you. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Joseph Aiello, chairman of the MBTA's Fiscal and Management Control Board. Thank you so much for showing up on Radio Boston.
Well, thank you, both of you. Appreciate it.